Chapter 5
Stiles is staring into his closet at 5 p.m. on Friday, wishing desperately, painfully, that his mother was still alive, as he tries to decide what to wear. He doesn't even know why he cares. So far, he's seen Derek in person twice, and both times he was just dressed in whatever he had thrown on that morning. It's not like Derek has seemed to notice or care. But he doesn't know what Derek's plans are, and that makes getting dressed difficult. If the man wants to take him out and show him off, they might go somewhere nice. He doesn't own nice clothes, beyond one suit that he got 2 years ago when his father won the election for sheriff and Stiles attended the party. It almost certainly doesn't fit anymore. After a long moment, he decides to dress in jeans and a t-shirt, and if Derek wants to go out, he'll just change. He's just lucky he managed to get all the egg out of his hair after he was ambushed on his way to the Jeep after school. The situation there is not improving. If anything, it's getting worse, because Derek still hasn't dumped him for someone more attractive, and as the rumors spread more widely, other people are getting in on the action. Even the teachers aren't above it. Stiles has already gotten one detention for cheating, even when he obviously wasn't, mostly by virtue of the fact that he has the highest grade in the class. And Harris gave him an F on a lab report, claiming that he hadn't turned it in even though he had. If it gets much worse, he's going to have to go to his father for help, which is something he absolutely does not want to do. He doesn't think hiding behind his daddy is going to add anything helpful to the situation, but after someone popped a balloon right behind his head just as he was starting down the stairs, he's starting to actually worry for his safety. Of course, that's not the weirdest thing that has happened to him lately. He had been walking to his chemistry class when he had suddenly been roughly shoved into the wall with the words, "Out of the way, Stilinski." His things had gone everywhere, and he had knelt to pick them up. Then, suddenly, someone else was helping him. Stiles looked up to see a statuesque blonde woman gathering some of his papers. She was more handsome than pretty, with a nice figure, although really he's too miserable to notice much. She was too old to be a student, but he didn't recognize her as a teacher. "Thanks," he said, as she handed his stack of books and papers to him. "No problem," she smiled at him. "You're Stiles, right?"
Yeah.
Stiles doesn't think he'll ever get used to his newfound celebrity.
"Sorry, you're...
Kate." She reached out and shook his hand. "I'm glad I found you. Got a sec?" Stiles gave her a suspicious look.
"Are you with the paper?"
"Nope," she said. "Not with the Sun or the U.S. Weekly either. I'm actually with the WLO, Werewolf Liberation Op. Heard of us?" Stiles shook his head, frowning.
"Sorry."
"It's okay. Most of our work is under the radar. But our goal is to reestablish equality between werewolves and humans. Specifically, we help people like you, who are being victimized by werewolf culture."
Stiles couldn't help but squirm a little at this. Now that he was thinking about it, he's pretty sure that he has heard of the WLO, and he's pretty sure that they've been labeled either a terrorist group or a hate group. He can't recall which.
Yeah, that's really interesting, he said. "But I don't really consider myself a victim."
Kate arched her eyebrows at him.
"Aren't you? Don't give me that 'I can always refuse' bullshit. If you could refuse, you would have refused. Sure, you have the legal right, but the reaction of society would slaughter you, and you know it. Suddenly you would be saying that you don't think werewolves are better than humans. Don't you know what people would do to you?"
Stiles looked away. Kate has a point. It's a good one. But he's not sure it's the werewolf's fault. The warning bell rings.
"I have to get to class," he says.
"Sure, but take my card." Kate takes out a little business card that's silver with crimson text. All it has is her name and a phone number. "Call me when you need help, and you're going to need help, Stiles."
With that, she turned and walked away, leaving Stiles feeling unsettled behind her. He tucks the card away and makes a mental note to Google the WLO later tonight, when he's not about to have to face an evening date with his new werewolf mate,
who probably won't be thrilled to hear about this, which is why Styles has absolutely no plans on telling him. He had been preoccupied with it for a while, but the subsequent egging and impending date had driven it out of his mind. He wonders if he should have eaten, but then decides against it. He's not really hungry anyway, too edgy. So he sits down with video games until the doorbell rings at precisely 7. Then he heads downstairs and answers it. Much to his relief, Derek is dressed casually, in a maroon Henley and black jeans. Much to his dismay, the shirt shows off his ridiculous musculature quite well. Styles has to swallow and remind himself that Derek is out of his league, that it's just a joke, that he'll never have Derek, so he may as well stop looking. He can't forget the moment he had stumbled into the room and seen Derek for the first time. The form-fitting jeans, the V-neck shirt, the stubble, the everything. It was like an electric shock had gone through him. Lydia is pretty, sure, but Derek is magnificent and real in a way that Lydia Martin never was and never would be. Hey, Styles says, waving awkwardly. Hey, Derek greets him. His smile is small, really just a hopeful twitch of his lips, and then immediately gone, like he isn't used to the expression. I brought Chinese and a movie. Even if that hadn't been the sheriff's suggestion, it would have been much more to Derek's taste anyway. Not really exciting, but... You don't want to go out somewhere? Styles asks, his tone wary. Show me off? Derek blinks at him. No. He seems honestly startled. I want to spend time with you. If you'd rather go out, we can. It's not what Derek wants to do, and he tries to keep that off his face, but he really doesn't want to have to go out and divide his attention between Styles and the rest of the world. No, I just figured. I mean, isn't the whole point to be like, hey everyone, I have a mate now, so you can all stop breathing down my neck? After a moment, Derek just shakes his head. It's no one's business besides mine, my family, and my packs, and your family as to whether or not I have a mate. That's a pretty small group of people, really. He shifts his weight a little. How is our private life anyone else's business? Styles thinks this over for a few minutes. It doesn't really jive with what everyone at school seems to think about werewolf culture, or with what he had theorized Derek would want out of their fake relationship. Wasn't the whole point of picking someone to get everyone else off his back? But he doesn't say anything about it, partly because he's not sure what it means, and partly because he just isn't in the mood for an argument. So he just changes the subject entirely. Chinese? In response, Derek hefts the bag. He lets Styles change the subject. If nothing else, that means they get to stay in. Then he frowns a little as he passes the bag over, and the potent scent of food starts to drift away. He smells something weird. Do I smell eggs? Styles freezes for a brief moment. He had cleaned up, showered and washed his hair, thrown his clothes in the laundry. Then his gaze lands on his backpack, sitting by the door. He had scraped the egg off of it, but clearly not well enough. Yeah, he says. I made eggs earlier. You know, as a snack. Jesus, he sounds like an idiot. I mean, I had an egg sandwich when I got home from school. Derek hears the uptick in Styles' heartbeat that comes with the answer, but it hadn't exactly been steady before. Nerves will do that. Still, for some reason, Derek doesn't think it's the truth. Styles babbles like he's trying to distract a predator. But it's also just an egg, so Derek lets it go, accepting the explanation. When he doesn't press the issue, Styles relaxes a little and starts unloading the food onto the counter. Oh, hey, egg rolls. Awesome, he says. Geez, did you just walk in and say, give me one of everything? Pretty much. More like, I have to feed a werewolf and a teenage boy. Styles says something in reply, but it's completely indistinguishable through the egg roll. Uh-huh, Derek says, amused. He reaches for the teriyaki beef on skewers and takes most of them. Plates? I suppose if you really feel they're necessary, Styles replies, opening a cabinet. No, I'm content for us to act like wolves. That's the advantage of robbing the cradle, Styles says.
and although his tone is joking, his eyes flick up carefully to gauge Derek's reaction, remembering what he and Scott had been talking about before. Derek cringes a little and carefully puts some space between them, obviously for Styles' comfort rather than his own, even though he tries to keep his voice casual. No one ever believes Cora and I when we say that dinner would be much more exciting if everyone had to fight for it. Heh, yeah. Styles can't manage much more than that, because he's trying to catch his breath. He feels like snakes are squirming around in his stomach. He knows that his heart is hammering out of control and that Derek can hear it. This could be real. The logic stands. If Derek had chosen him because of his unsuitability, he wouldn't flinch like that at the mention of his age. Hell, even if it isn't real, even if he is just a beard, he thinks maybe he can get behind that after everything he's seen in the last few weeks. He would have been going nuts in Derek's shoes, watching all of those women pant after him. He would have been desperate to escape. Maybe Derek just hadn't thought it through. He can certainly understand wanting to get Talia Hale off his back. That woman is scary as fuck, and he's only met her for 45 seconds. Not that any of this helps him figure out how to act in their current situation, so he stalls for time by cramming another half an egg roll into his mouth. Derek doesn't seem to have any idea either. Of course, he can hear Styles' heart, and he hopes he hasn't done anything wrong. But there's no smell of anger or fear. Nervousness, yes, and maybe a little of the strange fresh air scent that he always associates with hope. He thinks about suggesting they put the movie on, and an annoying inner voice that sounds like Cora tells him that's a cop-out. He ignores it. Movie? Sure, what'd you get? Styles asks, opening containers to see what's inside. Prometheus. Derek joins Styles in cracking open the containers. Oh, sweet, Styles says, forgetting about his awkwardness for a few moments. I tried to sneak in twice, but never made it. Well, let's hope it lives up to the hype, Derek says, assaulting a beef stick. Styles, as it turns out, is an interactive movie watcher. That's probably the kindest way to put it. He talks to the screen, throws popcorn, of course he makes popcorn, rolls his eyes dramatically, gestures, flails, and does everything short of actually falling out of a chair. After one particularly involved scene, "Oh sure, just play with the primordial ooze. Are you an android or a toddler?" He stops abruptly and says to Derek, sorry if I'm annoying you. Derek, who has been watching Styles as much as the movie itself, blinks at him for a second. No, it's fine. Truth be told, Derek has been throwing some pretty skeptical glances at the television himself. It's kind of a, oh, you're gonna die, dumbass! Styles gets distracted by what's happening on the screen and starts chucking popcorn at it again. Jeez, I'm a better scientist than you and I'm still in high school. Seriously, I've seen domesticated turkeys with a better self-preservation instinct. Derek is judging people now. God, how do you do that? Styles asks, tone curious. Do what? Derek asks, a little distracted by the train wreck on the screen. That thing with your face, Styles says, flapping a hand at him. Like, do they teach a class at werewolf school about how to judge people with your eyebrows? What? No. Derek considers, I guess it's a natural talent, though my Uncle Peter does have a way of rolling his eyes that makes you want to re-examine your place in the universe and why it happens to be a location close enough to annoy him from. Styles bites a grin back at that, and then the movie starts to get intense, and despite the plot holes, he settles down a little, which is to say that he's at the edge of his seat, occasionally shouting profanities and offering advice to the characters, but not getting involved in outside conversations. When the credits are rolling, he leans back with a faintly confused expression. What the fuck did I just watch? I have no idea. None. Derek studies the television for another moment. No, still nothing. Styles laughs. Okay, then. He stands up and starts to clear up the remains of their dinner. They had put a pretty good dent in the Chinese food. Hang on, I gotta call and check on my dad, he says. It's nearly 10 o'clock. I hate it when he works Oh, hi, Dad. Yeah.
No, I'm okay. I just wanted to... Yeah. No, it's fine, really. Okay, see you later. He tucks the phone away. Good? Derek asks as he helps gather up the leftovers. Yeah, it always is. I don't really need to check on him. I just... Stiles shrugs. You've got better things to do than listen to my whining.
I live with a toddler. You aren't whining.
Derek carries a few things into the kitchen with Stiles on his heels.
And I absolutely know about checking on people, he adds, although he doesn't really look at Stiles when he says it.
Yeah, I guess so, Stiles says, and the awkward silence hangs in the air between them.
Derek clears his throat. Don't ever tell him I showed you that movie. Rating aside, I don't want him to think my taste is that bad.
Well, it looked awesome, Stiles says, and then shrugs. It's late, so you should probably go.
Derek nods, agreeing easily enough. The evening had gone really well. He didn't want to ruin it by overstaying his welcome. Let me grab the movie so I can return it, he says. He's definitely glad he hadn't bought it.
Do you want any of the leftovers? Stiles asks. Not that there's much.
Nah, I'd be ambushed before I made it to the kitchen.
Stiles laughs a little, but a pang of longing goes through him. He wonders what it's like to have a pack, a family, siblings or relatives who would chase you for your Chinese food, or maybe even just to hear how your evening had gone. Not that his father doesn't listen to him. He's just... not around as much as Stiles wishes he could be.
Okay, he says, as Derek picks up the movie.
Thanks. I mean, I had a good time. This wasn't a disaster. I mean, crap. I'll shut up.
Well, the movie was a disaster, Derek says, but it was also kind of hilarious.
He cracks a smile and adds, I had a good time, too. Next time, you pick the movie.
Stiles fights to keep the blush off his cheeks.
That's a dangerous game, you know. My dad's never going to forgive me for the island of Dr. Moreau.
Derek's never heard of that, but he's pretty sure there's only one correct answer. If it's horrible, I promise to forgive you.
Okay, then, Stiles says, and shuffles from foot to foot for a moment. Good night, then.
Good night, Derek says, and heads for the door.
The Werewolf Liberation Operation was founded almost 50 years prior by a man named Gerard Argent. Stiles checks the business card Kate had given him, Kate Argent, so it's a family business. Sort of like the Westboro Baptist Church, he says, a little amused despite himself. They have indeed been labeled as a hate group, and they've been linked to the deaths of a few prominent werewolves, but nothing has ever been conclusively proven. They're one of the most outspoken groups calling for more restrictions on werewolf rights. The registry is an idea that's promoted even by milder groups, so people would always know when a werewolf was living next door. But the WLO calls for much harsher restrictions. They want no werewolf zones around schools and parks. They want werewolves to be ineligible for jobs as teachers, daycare workers, and officers of the law. The latter makes Stiles bristle, because his father has two werewolves on staff, and they're both good cops. They call for the immediate repeal of the laws that had been passed regarding werewolf self-defense. Those are a few decades old now, and had in fact been championed by the Hale family. The argument had been that werewolves could not be expected to restrain themselves in the heat of the moment if their lives or the lives of their children or mates was threatened. Almost 20 years previous, a werewolf had been convicted of murder after he had killed a mugger who had waved a knife at his human mate. After the conviction, his lawyers had appealed on the basis that a human would have been allowed to plead self-defense, and it was unfair that the werewolf was not, simply because he happened to be bigger and stronger. Others had argued that as werewolves were more dangerous, they should be even more in control of their impulses. But such control was impossible when the pack was in danger, werewolves had responded, and allowances had to be made. It had been in the courts for years, and finally laws had been passed, but public opinion was still very conflicted on the matter. There were plenty of people who thought that werewolves were, simply put, a better species, deserving of such respect. But then there were others who argued that werewolves were oppressing humans. The WLO wants it to be illegal to turn a human under any circumstances. They even call for restrictions on breeding, saying werewolves shouldn't be allowed to have children, should even be sterilized to prevent it. Among the other things the WLO calls for is an immediate end to the searching ceremony, because it allows the wolves to, quote, steal and indoctrinate our children. Won't someone think of the children? Stiles asks, and laughs despite himself. It all seems so ridiculous. The teenagers in his class are panting to be part of the werewolf packs in the area. Even the adults aren't above it, even if they know their chances are mostly spent. Whoever's protesting the idea of werewolves stealing children, it's at a level far above the common man. Ugh, he finally says, slaps his laptop shut, and tosses Kate's card in the trash. He may not be thrilled with what Derek had done, but he's not about to be associated with a bunch of fear-mongering, hate-spreading assholes. He checks his watch. He's meeting the others for bowling in half an hour, so he ducks into the shower. Scott is practically out of his mind with nerves and excitement when Stiles picks him up. Stiles tells him to calm down before he works himself into an asthma attack. He's brought Allison actual flowers. Stiles remarks that that's more appropriate to prom than a bowling date, but then he sees Allison and forgives Scott for everything. She's gorgeous, and she blushes prettily when Scott gives her the flowers, and he blushes, and they just stand there, blushing at each other incompetently. Stiles thinks to himself that this is what teenage romances are supposed to be like, but he manages to push thoughts of Derek and his own humiliation out of his mind when Scott introduces him. He says hi and waves, even though she's 4 feet away from him, like a dork. Then Heather and her friend Shamika show up and get introduced, and they all have to get their bowling shoes, which is kind of hilarious. Allison is good at bowling and immediately does better than any of them. Scott is so bad that it's embarrassing, and Allison doesn't mind at all, spending at least an hour patiently showing him how to hold his arm and the right way to move, both of them blushing the entire time, but Allison's eyes sparkling. She's obviously having a great time. So Scott says you two met at the searching ceremony, Heather says, as they sit down for burgers and milkshakes at the diner next door. You two did it wrong. You're supposed to meet werewolves. Allison laughs. Yeah, everyone was making fun of us. But my dad would have had apoplexy if I had come home with a werewolf anyway. Not a fan? Shamika asks. No, Allison says. He's one of those, oh my god, werewolves are dangerous monsters stealing our children sort of people. He let me go to the ceremony since we're new in town, and it seemed like a good way to meet people, but he wouldn't let me put my name on the list, and since I'm only 17, I can't without parental permission. Nobody says anything about Stiles having gotten chosen. Scott has apparently warned Allison that it would be a touchy subject, or maybe since she goes to the other high school, she just doesn't know about it. So the afternoon is a refreshing change of pace. Look, Heather says before they leave, I'm really sorry about what I said the other day. No, you're right, you're totally right, Stiles says. Don't even worry about it. Thanks, Stiles. She gives him a hug and a kiss on the cheek. You're a good friend. And once this whole thing with Derek is over and everyone's forgotten about it, ask me again, okay? You bet, Stiles says, but he can't help but feel glum about the whole thing. Am I an idiot or what? He asks Scott, once they're back in the Jeep. I know Derek picking me was just a stupid joke, just a way of him getting his parents off his back. He'll pretend to see me for a little while until they agree to take the pressure off, but I'm still fucking insulted that nobody's arguing with me about this assumption. I'm like, Derek just picked me as a joke. And everyone goes, oh, okay, that makes much more sense than the alternative. The only guy arguing with me is the one who played the damn joke to begin with. Scott thinks about this for a long minute before he concludes aloud, no matter what I say to that, you're going to be pissed off at me, so I'm abstaining from this conversation. Stiles considers, yeah, that's fair. So instead they talk about Allison, how amazing she is, how she's beautiful and kind and funny and good at everything. Like, seriously, What 17-year-old girl is that good at bowling? And Scott says he asked her to a party on Friday, and she said yes, and Styles should go. Styles says he'll think about it, but he already knows he won't go. He's going to be showing his face outside the house as little as possible until all this blows over.